The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
Break it down! From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Producer T. Scott. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you miss the first hour, you miss Dave Tepper. Sorry you missed
him.
Yeah. Fortunately, it'll be available on podcastarena.com. So, hey, Tyler, question. Is Salisbury off this week?
Yeah.
So why are we not simulcasting all 3 hours?
I'm not sure.
Why don't we find that out?
It's usually a John call, but I will text.
Maybe we're playing bowl games over there?
Maybe. That's probably what it is.
No.
We
have a bowl game after your show tonight.
So what are they playing on 94.1 right now?
I think it's Patrick Creighton.
Oh, God.
We should be simulcasting. Actually, last Friday, whenever he was out as well, we tried simulcasting, and then Larson told us to go back to regular programming. So I don't know.
What's regular programming if he's out? That's dumb.
It's whoever's filling in for him.
Oh, God.
Interesting.
Okay.
Yeah. I think certainly he can do that on the network, but 94.1 should be ours, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
If you want to make the executive?
Yeah, you're the vice president.
Stop. I'm not involved in programming. I'm involved in other aspects of the company. I've tried to stay out of it for this very reason.
Well, what's the point of being vice president if you can't make that call?
Well, it's not my... my call, anything involving Sports Map...
Yeah, Sports Map 94.1.
No, Sports Map, the website, the great website.
Well.
Which is doing very well for us, by the way.
All right.
I'm a good earner. 713-780-ESPN. How was your Christmas? We didn't get a chance to talk about any of this stuff.
It was good, man. It's good. I mean, you know how it is when you have kids. Christmas stops being about... you.
Right.
And it's all about the kids, and they had a good Christmas, so it was a good time.
Well, I didn't get to make it down to Lamar because I had to cover the doggone garbage game yesterday. And so we basically just binge watch a bunch of shows.
Oh, I finished The Punisher.
How is that?
It's good.
Yeah?
It's good. Yeah, I like it.
Do I need to watch Daredevil first?
No. Okay. Doesn't matter.
We binge watched something called Jean-Claude Van Johnson on Amazon.
Never heard of this.
It's Jean-Claude Van Damme playing himself as a washed-up old actor who's also a secret agent who's retired and he comes back. It was much funnier than I thought it was going to be.
Was it good?
Yeah, I loved it. Okay. I have to say, the critics ripped it, but I thought it was really good. And then we've been binge-watching Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place.
I haven't seen that either.
That's 15 years old. That's what Ryan Reynolds got started on. It's actually first year and a half, very funny. Second year and a half. Okay, so the first year and a half is the equivalent of the Steelers. The second year and a half is the equivalent of the Texans. Mm. So I'm kind of out on these last few episodes. But we were going to go out. There was Molly Ringwald's were having a free show last night at Continental Club. We were going to go. And at the last minute, we decided not to. And I'm glad because our upstairs toilet just decided to break.
Oh, no.
And spill water everywhere.
Was it clean water or poo water?
No, it was clean water.
That's good.
It basically filled up the entire floor upstairs, so we spent the whole time mopping that up and shutting off water. So now I have to get a new toilet upstairs. So that was my Christmas. Yeah, it's no big deal. I mean, we've got warranties. So
you spend time with the fam?
Children's? My kids I spent time with last week, but I didn't get down to Lamarck because I had...
Oh, okay.
I had to do the Sports Map stuff.
You're too busy with the map. That's a management deal.
You know, somebody, and as few people that seem to care about that game, I sure got a lot of hits on that story.
Oh, well, listen.
So people people still care, but I tried to come up with a way to be funny and, you know, and still have some information in there, and hopefully people enjoyed it. It's on the website if you want to go check it out, sportsmap.com. Plug for that. You want to go through the games? Because we haven't had a chance to do any of that.
Let's do it.
And look back on a plus there's some college games to get to.
Your boys. Coug House.
Yeah, I'm not so gung-ho about them right now.
I think it's funny how...
although I did bet on Fresno.
Yeah.
That was one of my 5-0 for the weekend.
It's funny how quickly Coug fan has turned on Major Applewhite. Like,
I haven't quite turned on him yet, but he's kind of in that Tony Levine box for me.
I mean, think about the excitement when they hired him versus what the excitement about the program is today.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. His coordinator hires were bad hires. And I thought the guy they brought in from Mississippi State was a home run hire. That didn't work out. The offense was not anywhere near where it needed to be. And I think he did the right thing by going back to Florida as a quarterback coach. Yeah. So he's got to nail this hire. And I still don't like that. I still don't know what they're going to do on defense. All right. You know what? We're ready to break time here.
Okay. We'll do the NFL when we come back. The break.
Yeah. So take us to break, Tyler.
This is The Blitz.
Don't you get it?
On ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, let's take a look at the games from this weekend, NFL side. Saturday, Ravens beat the Colts, 23-16. More importantly, the Colts covered.
They did.
Yes.
13.5, well, that was a stupid number.
Yeah, and the Ravens are in position now to make the playoffs with a win, so... will be an interesting last week. We'll get to that at some point.
Win over the Browns, right?
No, the Steelers play the Browns. The Ravens play the Bengals.
Okay, that's it.
Which
might as well be the Browns.
Vikings 16-0 over the Packers.
I mean, just an awful performance from the Packers. Brett Hundley was so bad. Yeah. I mean, this was Case Keenum wasn't very good, but it didn't matter.
It didn't matter.
The Packers were just so poor.
It's kind of like the Eagles. It was just an ugly win, but they did what they needed to do. Bears beat the Browns 20-3. The only person this mattered to was me because I had Bears -6.5.
Well played. Well, I almost hit the Browns. If I was waiting for it to get to 7, if it would have, I would have hit the Browns.
You can't bet the Browns.
You can't. Their number went to 6, and I was like, oh god, Brown steam is it's a thing on game day.
Bengals 26, Lions 17. Where the hell did that come from the Bengals?
Well, where did it come from the Lions? Yeah. I mean, the Lions cost them. I mean, a loss to the Bengals knocks you out of playoff contention. That's a bad loss, man.
Rams go into Tennessee and beat the Titans 27-23.
That was an L for me. I had the Rams to cover 6. They didn't. The Rams just never were able to run away from them. It seemed like they should have, but they just never were. And a lot of it came from missed field goals, missed extra points because they didn't have Greg Zuerlein. It was a pretty noticeable difference. Todd Gurley have a day though. I mean, just receiving, running, he was just he was everything for that team. 276 total yards and 2 touchdowns. Just a monstrous game for Todd Gurley.
Chiefs continue to look really good. They beat the Dolphins 29-13 and have been, I think, 4-1 now since Andy Reid gave up the play calling.
Yeah. Well, since Andy Reid gave up the play calling, they realized that, we're a running football team. And they were running Kareem Hunt again. And that's what you got to do. Even when it's not working to perfection, you still got to stick with it.
And when they do that, it sets up Alex Smith, who winds up having a game.
That's a good game.
And that's, they've got to be a run first team. Patriots 37, Bills 16. I think the Bills might have got robbed of a touchdown early. I don't think it would have mattered.
Well, I don't know because, the momentum totally changed at that point. And the Bills would have gone into halftime with a 7-point lead. I mean, and then the wheels just sort of fall off after that. But they still had no answer for Rob Gronkowski, and that's what it boiled down to, was they couldn't stop that guy.
And now the Bills have to win next week and get some help to make the playoffs.
Yep. Which it's the help that they need is basically Tennessee losing to Jacksonville, which is quite possible, although Jacksonville has nothing to play for at this point.
Except the only thing they have to not play for is to not have to play the Titans again next week.
Why would you want to do that?
Now, the Titans hammered them pretty good the first time around.
That's true.
Saints beat the Falcons 23-13. Now the Falcons have to win against the Panthers, and if they want to get in, unless the Seahawks lose. Which I don't see the Seahawks losing. But
the Seahawks, they're one of those Jekyll and Hyde teams. You never know. But so are the Falcons. This was a weird game because neither team was very good. And this was when you said 5-0, I was surprised because usually when the Falcons play the Saints, you're all over the over on those games.
Yeah, I liked it, but the number was lower than it should have been, and that kind of gave me pause. So yeah, I backed off of that. I did not take the Saints either, believe it or not.
Yeah, neither one of these teams could really get anything going offensively, and Devontae Freeman was a big nothing, and they just. Yeah, both these teams have had success running the football this year. Neither had success on Sunday. And Matt Ryan and Drew Brees both were like, meh. At the end of the day, the Saints were a little bit better, and the Falcons are now in sort of desperation mode.
Chargers cling to life by the skin of their teeth. They beat the Jets 14-7. And
they need a lot to go right.
They do, but how much would it suck for the Bills if the Chargers wind up getting in over them because of the Nathan Peterman game?
Yeah, that'd be disgusting. But it's quite possible. Although I tend to think the way the Chargers were playing at that time versus the way Buffalo was playing, I think they would have beat Taylor. It just wouldn't have been as embarrassing.
Kirk Cousins has a nice audition for the Broncos as the Redskins pound them.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins looked really good too, and it's like the Redskins are one of those teams and. You know, I mean, the Broncos suck, but the Redskins looked really viable yesterday. And it's like, you saw that a little bit at the beginning of the season, and then like the entire middle of the season, they were just trash. The Redskins are a weird case. I don't know what they're going to do with Cousins, but they're in a tough spot.
Panthers beat the Bucs 22-19, and Cam Newton with the fumble and gets the ball and runs it in. Probably closer than it should have been, but once again, Jameis Winston shows how immature he can be.
Yeah, that was a tough loss, and he didn't handle it very well. I talked about this yesterday on Twitter when I was watching Derek Carr play. But it's pretty wild to consider Derek Carr, Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota, and Dak Prescott. A year ago, we thought this was the future of quarterback in the NFL. And now it's like...
Maybe.
Now it's like Jared Goff, Case Keenum, Blake Bortles, and Jimmy Garoppolo. Who saw that coming? Who saw that coming?
I'll throw the injured Carson Wentz and Deshaun Watson into that conversation as well.
Yeah, they look good, but I mean, with those injuries, it's always tough to see how they'll come back. But very disappointing for the guys that look poised to take that next step and become the future of that position.
49ers, speaking of Garoppolo, beat the Jaguars 44-33. And think about Bortles, and you know, you look at his numbers, 382 yards, like wow. But the turnovers when he gets in a shootout. Yeah. Turn into killers, and by the way, Garoppolo just riddled that defense, and he looks really good. We talked about him a lot on the pregame line, which I don't know when that's going to air. It's not airing tonight. I know it'll air Sunday, but hopefully we'll get it in before then. But RJ and I recorded that today.
I honestly, more impressively, was the Niners were able to stop Leonard Fournette and basically make him. He scored a touchdown, but he wasn't consistent. He wasn't great. And that's what the Jaguars need. They need to be dominant running the football. And because they were unable to do that, their defense was on the field too long. They get tired and eventually...
Well, and then they have to throw the ball, and that doesn't work out.
Well, you see late in the fourth quarter, 21 points in the fourth quarter when your team's been on the field all day.
Yeah. Seahawks go in and eliminate the Cowboys 21-12. They can get
that
in.
That was a battle of attrition, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like neither one of those teams wanted to go to the playoffs. And... Yeah, Dak Prescott screwed me big time in fantasy, but that was a pretty poor showing by the Seahawks in the win. They were just happened to be better than the Cowboys. I don't know what to think of either of those teams right now, honestly.
Cardinals beat the Giants 23-0.
Where'd that come from? They beat the hell out of that team. Yeah. I mean, that was impressive.
Actually, Cardinals have been pretty damn good at home. If you go back and look at it, that's
5-3 at home.
They beat Jacksonville at home. They've been better there. They're got a chance to finish 8-8.
Yeah.
So I mean, they weren't garbage. They just had quarterback problems.
Yeah.
Palmer gets hurt, and they're down to Blaine Gabbert and Drew Stanton, of all people. Steelers Texans we talked about.
You know what we didn't talk about in that game?
What?
The Texans completed 8 passes on the day.
Yeah.
8.
Yeah.
And the Steelers had 7 sacks.
It's funny you should mention that. That was in my article.
Was it?
Yeah. That was the 8 maids of milking.
Oh my goodness.
8 completions.
And thank God Heinicke came in to throw that one completion.
Yeah.
Because that otherwise it would have been 7-7. And that's, oh, God. I mean, it's just
I was really rooting for the Steelers to get one more sack just so that it'd be the same, be 8-8.
But yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's pretty brutal.
And then Raiders-Eagles.
Yeah, Raiders-Eagles, we talked about a little bit. The most interesting part about this game was if you were betting it, and the number was anywhere between 9-10, 9.5, 10. If you were on the Raiders, I think you were on the right side.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And clearly. Because the touchdown at the end, that's one of those fluky ways where you lose a cover. And the Eagles decide to just take a knee.
But if you have 9, I mean, the worst case, you get a push.
Yeah, but what if
Eagles fans won? Because right. And none of them deserve to. That's what's important. If you had 9.5 or 10, you were still good.
Yeah.
If you bet the Eagles, you shouldn't have bet the Eagles. And if you got a push, you were lucky.
Yeah.
That's the way I looked at it. But, yeah, the Raiders had the right game plan. They ran Marshawn Lynch consistently. They lost that game because they couldn't hold on to the football. They lost 3 fumbles in the game. And, of course, Derek Carr throws 2 interceptions. Could have thrown a 3rd one. Derek Carr just looked lost. I don't know what's wrong with that dude. And the only big offensive play they were able to muster was a broken play to Amari Cooper where he gets away. They ran out there with so many 3 tight end sets. I mean, it was like watching 1970s football.
Yeah.
And you knew they were going to run, but the Eagles, who were the best run defense in the league, couldn't stop. And the offense for the Eagles isn't what it was. The Eagles are a very beatable team right now.
Yeah, they're going to wind up being the 1 seed, and they'll probably be one of the softest 1 seeds we've seen in a while. Mainly
who's the team to beat in the NFC to you?
I honestly don't know. I think you could throw 3 or 4 teams up in a box, and I honestly think anybody that makes the playoffs can win the NFC.
Yeah.
Those are all pretty good teams, but they all have a little bit of a flaw in them. Like the Saints aren't playing as well as they were earlier in the year, but they're playing great defense. And I think they can run the ball, so they might be able to win on the road.
It might be the Rams for me.
Are we going to trust Jared Goff in a playoff situation?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's why I mean, they all have.
But they run flaws. Better. They run as well as anybody, and they've got a great defense.
They do. And yeah, I look at the Panthers, and it's like, how is their record as good as it is when Cam Newton has not had a great year passing the football? Now, when he runs the football, they've been very effective, but. I honestly don't know. I could see anybody maybe except for the Seahawks if they got in.
Because the Seahawks have is a quarterback who's been there and done it.
Yeah, I just think they have way too many injuries to go and basically win three straight road games against teams that are pretty quality.
But besides New Orleans, that's the only Super Bowl winning quarterback that's going to make the playoffs in the NFC is if they make it. So it's a. There's no Rodgers to beat this year.
Newton's been there, at least.
He's been there and choked like a dog.
Yeah, well.
Like Matt Ryan. Although Matt Ryan didn't really choke.
Oh, well. I think it's an interesting field. It's a lot more interesting than the AFC.
I'm with you.
I think the AFC is going to wind up being...
It's going to wind up being the Patriots. It doesn't matter who they play. It'll probably be Patriots-Steelers.
Patriots-Steelers. Maybe the Chiefs or Ravens gets in there. Yeah. But, all right, guys. I want to know where to make some money. MyBookie.ag is your place to go. MyBookie's the industry-leading sports book. They're going to hook you up for all your betting needs. NFL, college football, hockey. You got another bowl game tonight you want to get in on? MyBookie has the best odds in action for players big and small. And if you want to test your luck in a casino, MyBookie puts instant blackjack, roulette, and Vegas-style slots in the palm of your hand. They also, here's another great thing about them. That mobile site that they have, it's fantastic. You even play the horses on that. Most sites you can't. And when you score that big win, MyBookie has you covered with the fastest online payouts in the business. Call MyBookie now at 844-900-2387. Mention promo code FRED, and they'll throw an extra 50% on your first deposit. Just call 844-900-2387 or sign up online using promo code FRED. You can also sign up online right on your phone. So go to your phone right now. First, pull over. Don't be doing this while you're driving. But pull over. Visit mybookie.ag today. Bet with the biggest, bet with the best, only at MyBookie.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
From the ESPN 97.5 Traffic Center on I-45, the North Freeway, northbound at Tidwell, watch out for a stall off to the right shoulder and another stall on the West Sam Houston Tollway, northbound at Central Plaza, block in the right lane, so careful there. The ESPN 97.5 Traffic Center is brought to you by Uberito, home of the $5 Chicken Burrito Monday. Uberito, above and beyond your basic burrito. From the ESPN 97.5 Traffic Center, I'm Alicia Alanis.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. And if you were listening earlier, you heard Dave Tepper singing the praises of one Lance Erline, who joins us in
studio. I heard Tepper.
Yeah.
What was Tepper doing on?
He's in town. He just came in for Christmas and...
Was he in studio?
Yeah, he came in studio.
I can't believe I didn't get to see him. I heard his, I thought I heard his voice, and I'm like, well, I can't be Dave Tepper, but I thought I heard his voice somewhere. Wow.
Okay. We met up for a couple pregame beers, and then he said he was going to come by and say hi to the guys, and I said, well, you might as well just do some radio with us. So.
Yeah, hell yeah.
It's one of these days, like, I don't know. I don't even know who's listening today. We might have no listening
audience today.
I was on
today. This morning. I have my buddy who I do my podcast with, Eric Layden. He's an actor who also is a massive, he's from here, sports fan. And we were talking about everything. You know, we were talking about how basketball kind of jumps off at Christmas. I don't know. Are you guys feel this way? I feel like basketball right now, if you look at just the pure talent in the NBA – I think you can argue about it, whether the game's better or not. It's just completely different, frankly. It's not even comparable to what it was in the 80s and 90s because it's just way different because of the spacing. But I feel like from a talent standpoint, the league's in a really, really, really good spot.
There's a ton of big stars.
A ton of big stars that are very young. You know, what Joel Embiid is doing right now and Karl Anthony Towns, man, those are some scary big men.
And it's cool because when's the last time there were big men that were
That's what I was saying.
Useful? Like, yeah.
Real big guys. Yeah. Like, for real big guys. Yeah, it's you know, it's kind of cool.
Not Euro bigs.
Like, no, not stretch fives.
No.
You know, and Capella, I don't put him in that group, but Capella's developing into a
nice
big.
I mean, I guess DeMarcus Cousins has been pretty solid for a
while.
Yeah,
Boogie's been. Yeah, he's really good.
He's been in a wasteland.
And Anthony Davis now, all of a sudden, because of the injuries, is just not, you know.
Yeah.
He just doesn't feel like the I don't know. He doesn't feel like the same guy.
But, yeah, I mean, the quality is good. But I was telling Fred, Christmas Day, everyone says, oh, it's the official start of the NBA regular season. And I'm just like, well, there's still, as long as there's football games on, the NBA hasn't started for me. Like, I'll watch NBA games on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, but if there's football on a Saturday, on a Sunday, on a Monday, I'm still watching
football.
Are you
still locking in on any football?
Pretty much.
All right.
I had no interest in Raiders, Eagles. I didn't bet on the game. I mean,
do
I had
you guys have to have action on games for you to care
no,
about it?
No.
You don't? Okay. All
right. Because I always think about, I might have action on this team next week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Okay, so you're scouting then.
Yeah.
All right, well.
Like, that's me with college basketball. And my wife hates how much college basketball I watch. And I watch, I would say probably 25 to 30 college basketball games a week.
Come on.
Yeah.
And 25 to 30?
Yeah. And I'm talking about.
There's no way. There's not enough time in the day for you to do that.
I mean, what time do you wake up?
I mean, I wake up at 5,
I wake up
whatever.
At 9 or 10. every day.
Do you record the games?
Yeah, I record games.
Do you really?
Yeah.
That's hardcore.
And sometimes I'll be watching a game on television, and then I'll be watching another game on my laptop or my iPad.
But I always tell people, when I have my own handicapping service, the best way to be a good handicapper is, like, you can study numbers, whatever. You got to watch.
Watch games.
Yeah. You got to get a feel for teams, what they're going to do.
Advanced analytics are awesome. But if you're not watching games and you don't know what these players, who these players are, what they mean to their team, it's hard to
If you're watching a lot, you know, we used to do this, and I don't know, it wasn't the Patriot League. I can't remember. Maybe it was the MAC. Me and my buddy Chris used to, like, try to specialize in a conference or two.
Yeah.
You know, just really get to know the Pac-12 or or the MAC, stuff like that. Because then you can just look at the numbers, point spreads, and all of a sudden things will start jumping out at you once you get a feel for it.
Well, especially on a conference like the MAC, where Vegas doesn't pay as much attention as they do the Pac-12.
You think they still don't, Fred?
No, I think they basically have computer models that spit out the lines. And I'm telling you, you still find value in Conference USA. You still find value in the AAC.
Are you talking about football or basketball?
I'm talking about football.
See, I still think
if it's football, then it's true in basketball too, isn't it?
Well, basketball, I think it's harder even for them in basketball because there's so many games going on. It's like, what are you going to do? You're going to handicap this game tonight and then handicap 15, 20 more games tomorrow? Like, it just seems like, seems very difficult to me to be like a line setter. For college basketball, because there's just so many teams.
So Fred got me in one time to speak. You were the one who set this up. This is like 2001. It was an AP sports writer convention. Did y'all want to talk Texans?
No, we don't care about that.
Okay, good.
We're just talking about
making sure. It was AP sports writers thing, and it was set up, and it was me, Delos Dodds. It was supposed to be a guy from the NCAA, and somebody else. I can't remember who. It was a female writer or something. And it was about whether or not newspapers should print point spreads in the newspaper. If newspapers should print college point spreads. And my argument was yes. And my argument was that, you know, and Delos is just kind of there. He didn't really have. And the NCAA guy, no, that's who it was. The NCAA guy who was supposed to show up, and I want to say it was even David Burse maybe, they didn't it was somebody else took their place of this guy. And it was, you know, my whole thing was, there's nothing real. You know, a lot of people look at point spreads as just a determining factor of how much better team A is over team B, and it generates interest in sports. It doesn't mean there's going to be mass wholesale gambling. And I know you guys are with me on this one. The leagues, and frankly, I get so upset when people start coming to me with, well, you can legalize, you know, weed, you can have beer commercials, you can all do all this, but gambling, you know, this can cause family. I know somebody whose family, like, you know somebody. What about Mothers Against Drunk Driving? What about the meth epidemic? What about opioids? I mean, don't tell me about gambling's going to ruin everything.
I've long said that, people don't believe me, and when we started doing this show, and we both like to bet, and we said, well, we're going to make that part of our show. And there was a lot of pushback we got at first. Was like, people don't care about betting. They just want to hear about the games. And I'm like, do you realize if you take away sports betting and you take away fantasy football, what the interest level in the NFL is?
It's
almost none.
It hides a lot. Now, I have come around. Like, I do think it's really more 80 to 85% fantasy football. If you really, I don't think the wagering is as heavy as, like, fantasy is just so substantial. But to your point, it is being propped up.
Which, by the way, fantasy is still a version of sports betting.
Oh yeah, yeah. But, well, I don't like to agree with that because then Texas will take away your
right. It's absolutely not.
Fantasy. Well, they're already in court.
They're already trying. So, yeah. But yeah, I just don't understand why people who like sports don't want there to be betting on it, because it makes the interest in those games so much greater.
Well, you tell me, Adam Silver and Rob Manfred, those guys aren't running away. They're running right to the gambling light.
Yeah.
Right to it, because they know.
Yeah.
They know football has fantasy football, and they can never have fantasy baseball and fantasy basketball is never going to do for them what football, because of the nature of how many games they play.
Yeah.
It's too hard to keep up with. So the one way that they can get a push is through gambling.
Yeah, and of course those two sports are like the hardest to bet.
Yeah,
you know, I always tell people, don't bet the NBA, don't bet baseball. It's the best way to lose money.
You know, the most interesting thing that Delos did in that panel,
he whistled.
No, he told us, he flat out told us that Vegas contacted the NCAA about one of their players. And,
yeah.
And that's how, and they wound up investigating and found out nothing happened. But he admitted basically that they, that there were betting patterns that Vegas picked out and then contacted the NCAA compliance folks who contacted him and said, you might have a problem here with one of your players. And I was shocked to hear that, but that's the thing. Vegas, they spot these trends. I mean, that's how you find out about a lot of these
things. They have the most to lose.
Yeah.
You know, they have the most to lose, so they're the watchdogs. So I once, so I had a friend of mine who I played basketball with at Tulane, and he played for the team. I just kind of went out and ran with the team during, you know, during off season and stuff. And he was actually from Dallas, and G.J. Hunter, old G. And he played overseas with Headache Smith. You guys remember him? He was involved in the point shaving stuff at I think at Arizona State. It's spelled H-E-D-A-K-E. And they played overseas together, and he told them the way that it got started, the point shaving stuff, was he admitted it was true. And he said it was because a guy who came in to, like, one of the guys who was in their dorm or the suite, he had a, he was friends with kind of a bookie, and this bookie would come in and play Madden or some type of double dribble. I don't know what it was, what the video game was, but they would play for money. And he got to where the money was so high that Headache Smith owed that he, it was almost like an after school special. Well, you can work this off by just, you know, you don't have to lose these games, just don't win by enough,
right?
And stuff like that. And that's how that happened. And that's where, I mean, look, colleges, I get it. Colleges, college players are susceptible to it. Referees are potentially susceptible.
That's the easiest guy to get to.
Yeah, the referee is the easiest one, and we know that for sure from Tim Donaghy. But, man, I don't even remotely consider, whenever people talk about NBA players throwing games, like James Harden was on the take in Game 6. Like, do you know how much you would have to give James Harden to throw a game? I mean, do you know what you'd have to do to make it
work? He's perfectly capable of doing it in a playoff game on his own.
Yeah. You'd have to give him like $8 million, and you can't even remotely come close to putting enough action down to cover that.
You're always going to have people who try to do that, but it's just like any other business in the world. You've got lawyers who are out there screwing the public. You've got doctors who are out there screwing the public. But I don't think it's nearly as widespread as people think. And that's the thing. They don't trust it because it's gambling. And coming from a horse racing background, every time, I know guys, every time they lose, oh, that jockey's on the take. I've known of one case in all the years that I've been doing it where I knew a jockey was stiffing a horse. One out of probably a million races.
I did. So. I did have a jockey in New Orleans, and I'd go to the, so I used to work at a Daiquiri's and Creams off of Williams Boulevard in New Orleans, right?
Yeah.
And so this jockey came through, I guess I can say his name now, it's been a while. His name was Eddie Martin Jr.
He's still out there riding.
Eddie is still riding.
Holy
crap.
Fred had dinner with him once.
Anyway, Eddie's like New Orleans born and bred. West Chalmette, West Bank, whatever, East Bank, West Bank, I get him confused. Eddie rolled through in a drive-thru. I just sit there and watch stuff on TV. Like, I could drink whatever I want, whenever I wanted. They didn't care. Eddie rolled through on a drive. It drove through, and this is when not the fairgrounds, but Jefferson Downs, I think it was called, was open right down the street. So I would leave my – sometimes I would leave after my shift and go to the track. Well, anyway, Eddie drove through, and I saw his hat. It was after a practice session. I saw his hat said E. Martin Jr., and it had the crop and the silks in the car. And I said, oh, are you Eddie Martin Jr.? He goes, yeah. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm – you know, I love watching you race, blah, blah, blah. This is on me. He had like a large margarita. I said, this one's on me, Eddie. He goes, oh, thanks a lot, man. What's your name? I said, my name's Lance. He goes, well, look, man, Lance, come on out. Next time you have the tracks, look me up on the pre-race and come say hi to me on the pre-race. I'll try to help you out. I'm like, okay. I was there the next day. Like, because you look in the paper in the morning, you could see if Eddie was riding.
Right.
And he was. And so I went the next day, and I'm there down on the – what is it called when you do
the paddock?
No, the circle.
Yeah, it's a paddock.
Oh, it's called a paddock?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, get with it.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. So anyway,
you're ruining your own story here.
I see him, and he looks at me. I look at him. He doesn't say anything. So he comes back by again a second time. I said, hey, Eddie, how you doing? He goes, I'm good. It's Lance, right? Yeah. He just keeps going. I'm like, damn it. And he comes by. I said, you like your horse, Eddie? How you like him? He goes, I like him okay. I sure do like that two horse better. And I'm like, good enough.
Yeah, that's...
ran up and bent the two. Then he finally told me, like, later on, he was that was race two, then it was race six. He goes, yeah, I ain't got a chance on this one, but I think I got a good shot in the 10th. Make sure you play me across the board in the 10th. I'm like, good enough. None of this is probably legal. I don't know.
But I'm sure. Well, I don't know.
None of this actually happened if you're listening.
No, is it illegal?
No, not at all.
Getting his opinion.
We'd have people on when we're out at the track. He'll come on and tell us, I don't like my horse here, but I like my horse here.
Yeah. That's what he told me.
That's fine.
That's what he told me, and so, he was pretty good.
No, what's illegal if he says, I've been holding this one back for 5 straight races, I'm cutting him loose today, so you might want to unload.
What pisses me off is, if the Texans are going to sit there at the press conference and say, yeah, I think we've got a good chance to win this week. That's what pisses me off. I wish they would be more honest and just be like, listen, we're probably losing to the Steelers. Maybe we got a shot next week. But
treat it like a jockey, like Ed Marks Jr.
Listen, I'm going to be honest with you.
You like your shots here, Bill? I don't like my chances here, but against the Colts, I think we got a shot.
We got a good chance against them there Colts, but against these Steelers, I'll be honest with you, ain't no way.
You know what's funny about you? I don't know if you guys will believe it or not. I think we talked about it, but I've already had a couple teams reach out about Bill O'Brien. Is he gonna be there? I said, I don't think so. I'm like, okay, interesting. Because they want to know if Bill O'Brien's on the market.
The other name I've heard that if he gets fired would get scooped up, and it boggles my mind maybe even more than Bill O'Brien, Jason Garrett. If Jason Garrett gets fired, he's going to get hired right away.
Marvin Lewis.
Teams are so scared to try something new.
I heard Marvin Lewis's name mentioned with the Texans by somebody in the league, and
oh my God.
Well, why does that make any sense? I was trying to put two and two together, and the only thing I could think of was he's used to placating management and ownership. He's easy to deal with. He coached here for 14 years, so he probably would work well with Rick, probably would work well with Bob McNair or Cal or whoever. But other than that, and he did have a good reputation defensively back in 2001 with that Ravens team, but I don't know, maybe we're too hard on Marvin Lewis, but you want to talk about getting zero people excited? I can't imagine more than 13 people would be happy about that.
Dude, I'm telling you, I look around the league and I look at what Sean McVay's done, what Sean McDermott's done.
Yeah.
Give me some fresh blood. I don't care if I've heard of the guy or not. Give someone new a chance to do something in this league instead of shuffling around these old heads that have proven to be average.
McDermott doesn't shock me that much. I think he's got a good coaching staff, too. I'm shocked at McVay. When I saw him at the combine, I didn't even know who he was. Right. I saw him and Les Snead dap each other up. I swear to God, I thought it was maybe a personnel director or something. And then he walks up to the podium and immediately walks up and starts talking. I'm like, this is the head coach?
That's the guy.
Holy crap.
And, man, you talk about turning things around. And then the audacity of Jeff Fisher to come out and pretend like he wants a job in the NFL. And it's like, dude, he's trying to take some kind of credit for what's going
Jeff's
on with
the
Rams.
The jockey who was holding on the reins of the Rams. That's what he was.
And you just look around the league and you look at Case Keenum and Nick Foles and Jared Goff and guys who have gotten away from him, and it's like, instant improvement to get away from him. It's like, who wants to hire you?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I that guy. But, you think about it. If there really are 10, 11, 12 openings, there's not enough qualified coaches to fill all those.
So they're going
to
recycle guys. And Jeff Fisher will probably be one of them.
God. Yeah, but one of the things, I'm not sure that I agree with the idea of taking college coaches and turning them into pros. It's never been super successful. It's just the games are too different. And college guys like Nick Saban, what makes him good is he can recruit exactly who he wants, the type of players he wants into his scheme. Yeah. You can't do that in the pros. No. I don't care. Even if you're a GM, you have a limited amount of picks. These guys, it's like Alabama's recruiting class is like signing 7 first-round picks. Yeah. That's what that's like.
I think the only example I can think of where it's been a real success was Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah.
Jimmy Johnson, but that's going way back.
Yeah, it's way back. But recent history, you look at Nick Saban, Chip Kelly, Bobby Petrino. If those guys can't do it, who's going to do it?
Yeah, I think you have to be a certain kind of coach. I think you have to be a great delegator. You need to have good, coordinators with you. It's doable. But I think just because you have success in college, people have heard, what about having Dabo Swinney come to the Texans? No, that's not going to happen. Yeah. Dabo also wasn't even offense coordinator with, you know, over there, although I don't know that that matters. Now, maybe Dabo's got the personality, but...
He's also making a hell of a lot more at Clemson than he'd make.
No, if I'm Dabo, why would you leave?
Yeah.
You make a ton of money. Even if you made more at Houston, the chances of you succeeding go down.
Right.
Why would these guys at powerhouse colleges ever leave?
That's what I said. Yeah,
the money's too good now.
Nick Saban's got a better job where he is than any NFL job.
Yeah. He makes, around $10 million a year?
Over, I think.
How could anyone touch that?
I think 11 is what Saban's at.
Yeah.
And Swinney is around 8 or 9 now. On his last deal.
I mean, who's...
Well, and there's a lot of these guys... there's a lot of these guys who I said, like... You know, and granted, money is something that can make a difference in these things, but if you're Josh McDaniels and he's been on both sides of this fence, you've got so much job security. You're Tom Brady's offensive coordinator. I mean, what could go wrong? Whereas if you take a head coach of, like, you know, the Bengals or the Browns, good luck.
If you're on a cash grab, I get it. You know, he tried it once. He got out from under and it lasted like no time at all. Charlie Weiss never recovered.
Nope.
Offensive guys, these guys who try to leave Tom Brady, wide receivers for years, would try to go somewhere else and they never did anything. I mean, suckle from the Tom Brady teat for as long as you possibly can. So Bill Belichick's even doing it to an extent. I mean, look at who he's giving.
Although Bill Belichick does a good job of convincing you it's his teat.
No. And Bill Belichick is a great defensive coach and all this and that. But let's be real here. He gave away Jacoby Brissett for Dwayne Allen, basically.
Mm-hmm. Who he doesn't use.
He gave away Garoppolo for a second rounder.
Yeah.
Like, wow. And there were rumors that Cleveland would have given up their 12th pick of the draft for him. Like, what were they thinking? What were they thinking? And did the Texans, and would they have not traded with the Texans? Because I would have to think that Bill O'Brien and the Texans would have won a Garoppolo too. But if you're the Patriots and you had that much trouble with the Texans in the playoffs with their defense, I don't think you really want to go handing over Garoppolo.
Bill O'Brien's not looking for good quarterbacks. He likes to find scrubby dudes that he can point the finger at when things don't work.
That's why
he was pissed off that Rick Smith forced Deshaun on him. He's like, well, who the hell am I going to blame now? Now it looks like I'm the one sucking here. All right, Lance, appreciate it, man.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you next week, brother.
Okay, we'll see you guys.
You doing shows all week?
Yeah, I was here yesterday. I'll be here tomorrow morning. You should come in tomorrow morning and you guys come co-host with me at 7 in the morning.
That sounds horrible. I'll be up. I'll be up all night watching The Punisher on Netflix.
All right, quick break. It's a Blitz at ESPN 97.5.
Clock and grab your jock.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.